where we discuss biodynamic practices worldwide for you, your farm, and the planet. So welcome to the Living Farms podcast. We are here again today with Uli Holter, the co-leader of the Section for Agriculture, and we will discuss about research and science and how biodynamic agriculture is related to science and research results. So thanks for joining, Uli.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for inviting me. And I hope that I can bring something which is relevant for this theme.
I'm pretty sure, because we just recently had a presentation at the Goetheanum TV about the biodynamic research results. And currently, more and more biodynamic agriculture is under judgment, so to say, that it's not scientific or that there are no research results existing. I'm sure most of you as listeners have realized this, that that biodynamics is facing this threat again and again. And why do you think that we have developed more and more as a society which is more research oriented, so to say, and where science is so important?
Yeah, one could perhaps say there is a trend in our society: follow the science. Follow the science, and then you are on the good side. And this trend not to take into account the personal judgment, but to ask somewhere an objective truth, and to say, I have more trust into a kind of figures which base on experiments than on my own judgment. I think it's a sign of loss of personal security. And it was driven by the corona situation, because this corona situation, at least in the first months, has been very new, and we had all to learn. And then, at least in the mainstream medias, and also for the politicians who had to take decisions, the only base which is accepted in our society on a large level, I would say, is science. And science is a wonderful tool, because it makes us conscious and it allows us innovations and it's clear and transparent. But as with each wonderful tool, you can go too far away. Yeah, not all of our questions, not all of my situations in my life, I can answer based on science. This is not my experience. And so I think what is at the base a wonderful tool to have science, and I would say it's the knowledge we have in our modern society, also can be brought in a kind of situation where it's like a doctrine, as we have had religious doctrines in former times, or we have still, and this science should become aware about, that it's a danger when it's not seen as a kind of tool or of approach or of point of view, but as an abstract doctrine. This is the truth and all other is not. And I think it has been mostly the mainstream medias who brought science in this position, and perhaps some scientists in this corona time who like to be heard and so on. But at the end, I would say it's not the general feeling of our societies. It's a kind of thing which has been forward by by the corona situation.
And for me, I find it always very interesting that that there is this assumption that biodynamics does not have research, although it actually provides quite a good amount of research results. And in particular, because I feel that the research continuously developed parallel to the practice of biodynamics. So could you maybe elaborate a little bit on the beginnings of biodynamic research and how it came together with the practice and ideas of Rudolf Steiner?
So Rudolf Steiner himself was a researcher. He considered himself as a researcher on spiritual field, but he has a very huge knowledge about state of the art in many, many of the, of the research fields on his time. And in this way, I would say biodynamics came out of research. It was a special one, but it was research. And one of the core practice we have in biodynamics, the biodynamic preparations, they have been researched before they have been told to the farmers. Yeah? So the first horn manure has been worked out the winter before the agricultural course. I for a long time didn't know either. Yeah? So Steiner had some insights out of his spiritual research. Then he brought it down and said, well, now we have to check. Yeah? And this has been his attitude over the whole course. He said, these are my insights out of spiritual research, but please check. Okay? You have either to check if it's true or not, or you have to adapt to your very specific situations. All your farms are different, so you can't do things which are coming out of life just the same, let's say, on a in different climates and in different geological situations and so on. So it was a call from him, please check. And then the farmers, they said, okay, let's do a circle of research. This has been a more or less common form in these times there, that farm around the question they organized, and they called this research circle. And they already in Kobrowitz, in the days of the course, they organized themselves as being a research circle. And they asked Steiner to come in, and he said, no, this is you. I brought the research, now you have the research circle to check. And so right from the start on, the farmers have organized themselves and has to be invited and accepted to be researchers them too. And so this has been and is still our basic, let's say, attitude, that each farmer is a researcher. And not in a professional way, but in a way that he has a researching attitude. Things are not finished. Things have to evolve and have to be adapted and have to be improved and so on. Yeah? And this, I would say, is a wonderful attitude in the biodynamic movement that, we are in some way not finished with what we do. We try to be open-minded and to do experiments and to exchange and to inspire from one farm to the other farm how to do practically this or that. And then in the 50s, 60s, 70s of the 20th century, there has been then also professional research done, and some PhD works at the University of Gießen and other universities. And so we entered also, let's say, the professional research field and also the FIBL, the Forschungsinstitut für Biologischen Landbau in Switzerland, well known in the world, actually has been co-founded out of biodynamic circles. So it has always been for us something which belongs to our movement. And why there is a kind of meaning that we don't have research, it's a little bit strange, but we realize that this is the meaning of journalists and others, and actually we are on the way to change this.
And that's one of the reasons why we also included in the International Biodynamic Research Conference the perspective of the farmers, as we call them observational papers or like farmers research. So how can I think of this in practice, like you as a farmer, when you had your farm, how did you do your research there, like how did you evaluate how to move on with your farm?
You know, it's an attitude. In my case, it has not been a technique in the way that I made a protocol, how it is actually, and then I made three variants, and then I observed and so on. No, I was always in an inner inquiry with what I did practically. And when you plow, and when you bring your manure, and when you do your composting, and when you feed your cows, always to have this question, and what should be the next step? How could I, and it's not so much only the question, how could I become better on my farm, it's also how could I, you know, farming is so existential that you do a lot of mistakes. Yeah, you are wrong. And you are realizing in the evening or after a season or after a year, my God, this was not done as it should have been done. So it's not only to strive to become better, but to do less, let's say, things which you realize afterwards it was not the right approach or the right way to do. And it's in this way also special because the classical research nowadays is natural science research. And natural science research became great by making a clear distinction between the objective and the subjective, yeah? Between the one who searches and the thing he researches about, yeah? There should be an absolutely clear interface, and in this way it should become objective. And this is not the case when you are a farmer. Myself, as being the farmer, I'm always in. I'm always a part of the phenomena I research upon. Yeah? And this I discovered later on, that this is another way to research. But as a farmer, you are not observing your farm. As a researcher, you are involved. You are the conductor. You are the entrepreneur on your farm. And how can you then, yeah, in this way, make steps year after year out of a need, because mistakes, they cost money, and you have perhaps then diseases and other things, but also really out of an interest for what you deal with, meaning soil, plants and animals.
And what I find often in biodynamic farms and farmers is that they still do this like inner thinking in a very profound way and very constantly, so to say, and avoid a lot of mistakes actually by thinking through their farming decisions, and still they are often very well informed about the research results. which I find very interesting. And also you, I know you are mostly aware of every new single study that gets published, and that you, I mean, the question would be, did you include them into your farming decisions then, or was it just a way out
this
of...
can be. Absolutely, absolutely. This, when it concerns me with a situation I have, I include it immediately, I would say. You are, as a farmer, you are a practical, and when you hear something which fits to your situation and you think it improves your situation, it goes from one day to the other one. And this is not often the case, but farmers are like this, yeah? When it's practical, they take. Okay? And yeah, I remember, but it's not about agriculture or about agronomy, but it's about how they are, how we are as farmers when the mobile phones, they became, and one didn't know if is it to take or not to take. The very first one who had it or has had been the farmers. Yeah? Because it's practical. My first phone I had as a farmer because we organized among colleagues and neighbors with the phone. Before I had one because I have been in organizations or like this. Yeah? And this shows I have taken on some things. I have realized that that will improve my situation, and they came out of research.
And would you say that it's easy to apply the current research results to biodynamic farming, or is it important to have a different kind of research approach for biodynamic farmers?
I would say both. For example, what came out as result in a long-term trial in Tfibel in the last years, that plowing is not so good than doing without plowing. Yeah, but I know the situation where this trial is located and how the different variations are really practically made, and I would say, when you then take directly on, I stop plowing, you risk that in your condition it will not work. Huh? In my view, I think it needs often an adaptation. It needs often an adaptation, and this needs some time. How can I adapt a technique not to no-till, a no-till technique in my very specific farm. And when you do this, you realize that it needs other adaptations, or it needs a kind of, I do no-till perhaps in 70% of the cases, but in the remaining 30% I still plow and so on. So it needs a kind of adaptation, and agriculture is so universal that we do all the same around the globe, but each one does it in such a specific way that you have always, if it works or not, in your case, I would say is mostly due if you had done the right adaptation to your very specific situation.
And that will become more and more urgent, or because, I mean, with climate change, for example, you need to adapt more and more to your local conditions on the farm, rather having this, like, let's say, general recipes for farming. So anyway, climate change, I think, will ask a lot more from the farmers in experiencing their farm and really understanding how their farming system works. And that's, for me, one of the things which I really love about biodynamic farming, with this farm organism approach. It really asks the farmer to be a researcher and to really get into their farm and really understand how the different components play with one another and interact with one another. So I think that's one of the great things. And still, I wonder if, like, I mean, you talk now about the dog trial, which is a system research. So it's not this like single one factor and one output research experimental design. And I wonder if it's really possible to cover all of the complexity of nature and all of the complexity of a holistic farming system in one single factor design, so to say.
Yeah, sure not. And the dog trial has already been in this way innovative because it compares systems and not the one or the other factor. And this is much more, yeah, let's say, showing the reality on the farms. Huh? And now we do a next step, and we have done, and also others in the research for farming, and this is to include the farmer or the farm woman in what is researched on. Huh? And this is then a qualitative social research where you work with cases, and then you can do some cross case analysis and so on. But I think this is a good approach, and it's more a social scientific approach and not a pure natural science approach. And as the people who are working on the farm, who has established the farm, who are, let's say, the designer of the farms, the processors and so on, they have really to be taken into account. Because perhaps even two neighbors, they do it in a different way, and each one is better because the people are others. Yeah. And I hope a lot of this kind of research, because it makes you aware as a farmer that you are not just a fulfiller of some recipes, but you are a real actor on the ground, and you are an entrepreneur in the best sense of the term. And also I would hope that also for, let's say, more developing countries like India or regions in South America, or where I go regularly in Egypt, when people, they discover that they are not just doing what the consultant has said, but out of the moment and by being capable to bring the situation, the actual situation, in resonance with the basic knowledge I have, I become farmer means then also to be an artist, to be innovate in the moment for the best ever result I can achieve. And yeah, I see there really a track, a path in the future for a new collaboration also between, let's say, people more of the researching side and having a training in this, and more practitioners. And I would say, yes, the last innovations we did in the biodynamic movement are based on this approach.
And what kind of characteristics you would say are needed to do this? Because I was just thinking very shortly on, I mean, it takes a lot of trust in your own capabilities to do this research on the farm. And also then, of course, this curiosity to just explore again and again new things. But what would you say, what kind of farming personality is needed to really do this practical research and develop it further?
Yeah. Sometimes when you are a farmer, you think you are a farmer, and somewhere else you are a human being. And I like to say one is first a human being and then a farmer. And it means to constantly or by periods have a look on your doing as a farmer needs that you take a stand in your human being as something which is not just farming, but has wider perspective, has a broader cultural background and so on. And yeah, I think this is a kind of relation in myself to go out of my shoes of as a farmer and to take on the shoes of looking to myself from a kind of more general human perspective.
So live beyond your comfort zone, so to say.
Yeah, but you can also like it. It's not comfortable in a narrow sense, but it makes life worth in a brighter or in a deeper sense.
And how would you say, as consumers, this is possible to experience on a farm, or when you eat the food? Or because I sometimes feel that for consumers, it's very difficult to find their own truth, so to say, in this big different research results existing, and then you have the different farming styles and so on. And how do you say, could consumers experience this kind of attitude for farming in biodynamics, or is it?
To make open door visits on the farms, to go around the fields, to show the crops, to be with the animals, either organized open doors or either when they are coming as tourists or visitors to take time. We have really a big, big chance that when people come to the farm, we are on our ground and we can really open the eyes to the consumers. It's much more easier than we have to go to the supermarkets and to be in a surrounding which is not ours. And we have a kind of tradition that we invite people once or twice a year and we go around and we do a festivity. For example, we created Sowing the Future, and we did a going around the fields at St. John's festivity, and just that people touch once, let's say, the earth, the soil, or they cross a field of rice where the rye is higher than themselves and so on. To make it tangible, to make it phenomenological, experienceable, and not by brain, but by heart and by hand. I would say, yeah, it's not about explication, it's about experiencing.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, that's something that you can, I mean, I think also as a consumer, you can become and a researcher of experience. Like, you can ask yourself how certain food make you feel after you ate it, or how a certain farm makes you feel, or how certain decisions as well make you feel, and what kind of consequences they have in your life. So what would you say then? What steps are needed for consumers, but also for farmers, to really understand that biodynamic farming is something which is researched quite well? And I will again emphasize on the presentation we just did at the Goetheanum TV, where we really presented how biodynamic research is having, what kind of research exists and what kind of impact it has on our global situation. Where we have really shown that there are so many benefits deriving from biodynamic agriculture, and which are well researched. And I will also link the study of Christopher Brock for the review of biodynamic research, which shows that there are so many publications. But what do you think are important steps to go forward into the biodynamic research, and how it can be spread even further in our society?
You mean for the researchers, or now for the awareness of the society?
I think for both. So mainly for the society. How can the society become more aware of biodynamic research results?
Well, I think we have to present it. So each of the organizations, as we do actually at the section, but others already have done it, for example, in France, have to launch, homepages where these results are present and are commented, and in the language of this country, and so on. So really we have to bring them on the surface, and that they are easily accessible. Second is that we should know the main results, and that when we are in conversation with the public, that we know them and we can quote them, and not to say this proves, but it's a part as the practical farming, as let's say the quality of the products, it belongs to us, and it's a side and a phase of what we do, which we have to know and to bring in our conversations to the public. So not only in scientific publications, but I mean in general, and that we are fine with it, that we say, okay, there is the practice, there is also the research and scientific way. And the third thing is also that we integrate it, so that we don't, as we have already seen, have an attitude, follow the science. The science are fine, and we need them, and we are open and even active, but it's not the science themselves who will, save the world. So to integrate them in the overall approach. So these three steps: to show, to know, and to integrate.
Yeah, that's these are great three steps, I would say. And I would maybe also add to have the trust that biodynamic research and biodynamic practice also offers a lot of advantages. So it's like to just be not ashamed of what you do on the farms or in the research, but that you may have a different approach that is not so comparable to the standard science, so to say, but still often working very well and showing great results in food quality and the products and the farm and the environment and the farmers themselves. So,
and I think it's very important that we also encourage young researchers to go for this kind of themes. And that there is often a kind of steering group around an experiment, and to encourage them and to be receivable, and to say, you can work on a farm, you can work in an office, you can work in research. It's not to serve in a narrow sense the biodynamic impulse. It's in a wider sense. Biodynamic means that we, as human beings, we can be co-creators of the future together with nature in order to overcome the challenges we have actually, which are nutrition, which is soil conservation, which is biodiversity, which is the climate issue, which is the that people they leave the countryside and so on. So we invite wherever people would like to help that, this impulse should not be a closed and narrow and defined one, should be an invitation gesture that new people, new groups, new, let's say, perspectives can enter, and together we will make steps in the future.
Yeah, and that's basically what we also try to do with this podcast, or that we invite people, also researchers, and present their research findings so that all of you listeners are able to be informed about what is happening in the research world, but also how you can transfer these results into your practice or your daily practice, be it in the office or be it on the farm. So, because that's often something which I also feel that it's not just important to have the research results, but also as a researcher to have the responsibility that your research results are understandable for those that need to act upon it, so that it's clear what kind of practice implication your research has and what kind of political implication it has. And sometimes we may forget this as researchers, that it's not just about the research itself, but also the application in the different areas.
So we have created a position for research communication, because I think researchers sometimes they live a little bit in their own world, and there has to be a kind of translation work done for the common people, and even for, let's say, farmers who are not training in the same way their brain each day as a researcher. I think it's an important step.
So that's something which the listeners can also find in the show notes. So the link for the biodynamic research conference, which took place in 2018 and 2021. It has a documentation of, I think it's in each of them, more than 60 research, different research done all over the world. So it's quite impressive how the biodynamic research has spread. And as Uli mentioned, also the summaries of the newest research results that are published on our website. So not just something for the ear, but also for reading, so to say, for the eyes. So thank you very much, Uli. It was, again, nice having you here at the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for your insights, and hear you next time.